This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Jaylen Brown discussing the series against the Knicks. Round two begins tonight at TD Garden. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Discuss a lot of Red Sox in the first hour, replacing Tristan Cassis, why they've underachieved at 18-18 through the first month plus. We also mixed in some thoughts on Bill Belichick. If you want to jump in, you can at 617-779-7937. Our official series predictions are up now at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. Let's go through and get our predictions here on the air. Keefe, I see yours on social media. Yeah. How do you see the series shaking out?
Yeah, so I'm going back to the sweep. I thought they were going to sweep the Magic. They did not. Turns out the Magic, tough. Give them credit for their toughness. But I think this is just a better matchup. You know, individually, more talent on the Knicks than the Magic. But the Knicks match up so poorly with the Celtics because their two best players on New York, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, can both just get abused by the Celtics. You can't hide. There's two of them, and they get matched up on almost anybody on the Celtics. It's a big advantage for the C's. So it's going to be easier for the Celtics to score points in this series. You saw it all regular season long, all four matchups. In fact, three of them were blowouts. The most recent one was close, but Tatum hit a clutch shot, and they ended up winning in overtime. But no, they just have their number. This is not a team that the Knicks wanted to face at any point in the playoffs.
No, I don't think the Knicks have much of a shot.
However, you're giving them a chance.
Well, I'm giving them the greatest chance in the series. Yeah. That doesn't mean I think the Knicks are going to win.
Right.
But I have Celtics in six. And yes, the Knicks can get abused on defense, and it's a much better offensive matchup for the Celtics. I wouldn't sleep on the fact that Orlando could not score, couldn't shoot,
no.
And they were pushing you to the brink in some of these games. Now, the Celtics won in five, so maybe pushing to the brink sounds dramatic. But there was only one blowout in the series. It was the last game, and it's because Banchero was off the floor. Other than that, they played you tough. They were close in a bunch of these games. Game four was a tie game with 4 minutes to go. They won game three. I would just say if Orlando can take a game off you, the Knicks are better than Orlando. The Knicks can take two. It was a bad regular season matchup, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Orlando's been a terrible regular season matchup for the Celtics, and they won in five games. So I think you can throw some of that out. I think the Knicks offensively are going to be a big wake-up call for the Celtics because you can fall into some habits against Orlando for a team who cannot shoot, has two players, and cannot score. So I guess I'm giving the Knicks the greatest chance of anyone in the series, but I still have the Celtics winning it in six. Turpin, like you, Keefe, is going with a sweep. Billy, how'd you vote?
I went five again. I think the I'll give the Knicks one. I have more faith in them beating the Knicks than I did the Magic, and not that I didn't have faith in them beating the Magic. I think it's an easier matchup for the Celtics. I'm taking the C's in five.
Okay. All right. Nick, you voted with Turp and Keefe.
I did. I'm predicting a sweep on this one. Now, I get that would be beating the Knicks eight times in a row, which don't think about it too much because that seems kind of difficult. But the Knicks, they're just kind of soft.
They are
Tibbs going to run that team into
definitely
the
soft.
It's bizarre because.
But aren't the Celtics? Didn't we just learn the Celtics are a little soft?
But they were softer to a much tougher team.
Yeah. And look, I think the Celtics are better off for playing Orlando.
Team in this series.
I think they got toughened up a little bit by playing Orlando, but they were definitely the softer of the two teams in that round.
In that series, no doubt. But then talent kind of won out. I think the Celtics are obviously more talented, and they might be slightly tougher, but it doesn't matter because both teams are going to try to play a talent game, and they have more of it.
Well, they definitely do.
Yeah.
And so, look, if it just comes to. You saw what the Celtics can do. When they're raining threes like they were in the second half of Game 5 against Orlando, they're tough to beat. And I don't know if the Knicks can. In fact, I don't think the Knicks can run the Celtics off the line, prevent them from shooting threes. I think the Celtics are going to get all kinds of wide-open looks. But I just wouldn't sleep on New York's offense. The Celtics are going to get their looks, and they're going to be able to score. They gave up a game to Orlando last round, and that team cannot score. New York is head and shoulders better offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Then Orlando, although, and I want to start watching this tonight, I was in and out on their series against the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised at how awful the New York offense is to watch because they have a lot of talented players.
They do.
But it's pretty much Brunson, dribble, 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 drive to the hoop, maybe shoot, kick it out, get it right back, jack up a bad three.
Tallest guy on the floor, taking a three.
It's very, 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 very Brunson-centric, their offense.
Oh, entirely Brunson. Kind of surprising because you would think you gave up so much to get Mikal Bridges, and he's a good player. OG Anunoby's a solid player. Josh Hart's solid, but those guys are all afterthoughts. It's all Jalen Brunson, and then Karl-Anthony Towns. You're going to have to rely on if the threes fall, and he'll have a couple of at least high-scoring games. I don't know how good he's going to be overall because I think they're going to be able to pick on him and things like that, but he might stuff the stat sheet a little bit because those are the guys taking all the shots. It's Brunson and Towns. I saw a text that says the Adam Silver won't let it be a sweep. I don't know if we're still buying into that. There were two sweeps in the first round, and the Lakers lost in five.
That logic had me thinking, at least, the Lakers were going to extend that opening round series against the Wolves, and they were out in five.
If LeBron and Luka had a five-game first-round series, I think we could maybe put to bed that this season's fixed.
I would agree with that.
Hey, if you want to go back to some of the other times, okay, fine.
Tony Brothers is going to get the call in game three.
Yeah,
it's possible. Yeah.
There's only so much fixing you could do if the teams are as lopsided as a lot of people out there believe. So you can weigh in with all your series predictions here, 617-779-7937. Just on Brunson, I said this last week, and I'll reiterate, I think he's the most clutch player in the series. He was voted the most clutch player in the league this year.
He did win the clutch award.
And he hit a big shot. He missed a million shots in that fourth quarter of Game 6 against Detroit, but when it mattered, he also hit the biggest shot, the difference maker, that sent them to round two. I think if it's a one-possession game and it's late, Brunson's the scariest guy on the floor. How the Knicks make it a one-possession game, I have trouble getting them there enough to win a series.
Yeah.
I think maybe they can pick off a game or two, but I don't see them playing the Celtics close enough in all these games to make it a one-possession game late where Brunson can do what he does.
Well, and the best news of the weekend was that Jrue Holiday removed from the injury report.
Yep.
So you get Jrue Holiday out there who can match up with really any of the different guys. Including Jalen Brunson, and make it a little bit more difficult for him. Derek White, you can run whoever you want at Brunson, who took, I think, 10 more shots than the next guy in the series, or at least on the Knicks in the series against the Pistons. So they're running their entire offense through him.
And they have different guys they can throw at him. Holiday will probably get a lot of that matchup. White will get some of that matchup. I think Jalen's going to get a lot. Mm-hmm. I think his size has the potential to bother Brunson.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to throw a lot of different guys at him in this series, which is a luxury and an advantage. So you can jump in here with all your thoughts. I got some bigger picture thoughts on Celtics and Knicks, that rivalry, and how much it means to the league.
Yeah, because Brown was talking about it. I mean, I know he was asked about it, so it's sort of a leading question, but he was talking about it, and you're like, I don't know if there's rich history there.
There's not a great history there. So we can jump in on that, but I want to get to some of these phone calls. Christian's in Hull waiting patiently on Tristan Cassis. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Who was it that said that Cassis was going to be a 40 home run, 120
Breslow.
RBI guy? Was
Breslow.
Craig Breslow did.
Okay, so if he never plays a game for the Red Sox again, he will finish his career with 45 home runs and 120 RBI.
So we got it. Breslow
nailed
it. He
was right. That's what he meant.
Yeah, okay. That's what Breslow was saying.
Partial credit, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Do you think he's...
That's what he meant for his career with the Red Sox. Is that what he was saying?
He's a 41-10 guy. He was just counting his career totals at that point.
Parts of 4 years?
Yeah.
Do you think what I said?
Do you think he's effectively done in Boston?
Kind of. Yeah, I do.
Me too.
I do. Because we've never seen it even for a full season, let alone multiple seasons. It's so much projecting with Casas. And usually we do that with you know, the prospects or the guys that haven't played any major league games yet. He's been in the majors. I know the first year really wasn't much, but his rookie year, he had a couple of good months, and he ended the year 24 home runs. He ended up finishing third in the rookie of the year vote, and you're like, all right, sky's the limit. And then last year, played in 60 games, dealing with an injury the whole time. This year, a really slow start, similar to the slow start he got off to in 2023, but didn't have a chance to break out of it. So now you've had what's more consistent than anything else is slow starts and injuries. And you're like, I don't know. He also is one of the guys that hasn't agreed to a contract. They've signed a bunch of their young guys for the long haul. And now I don't know what they do at first base because the pipe dream was Vlad Guerrero Jr. So that's gone. So is there somebody else that's going to play first base? How is this year's replacement going to go and factor into that? But yeah, I could see a scenario where, especially if he's not ready for the start of next year and they've moved on, then like, that's it.
Right. And did I make a mistake? I said this earlier. Alonso, I think, signed a 1-year deal with the Mets, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was a 1-year deal, yeah.
Or is it a 2-year deal? Either way, it's a
short. Maybe with an option or something?
It's a short-term deal. That is exactly what it is. It's a 2-year deal. Second year is a player option. So, like, I think there's a lot of different ways where Cassis could just be out of a job. And it's callous because it was such an unfortunate bang-bang nothing injury that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say just like a routine play that you see a million times in a game, you don't expect a guy to tear up his knee like he did.
And it's arbitration next year. I can see that getting messy.
But so, like, number one, let's say they piece, I don't think they're going to do this, but they piece it together with Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro, and they bring back Dom Smith, and it's scrap heap guys at first. They're going to be thirsty to jump in on a player like Pete Alonso in free agency next year. So that's one way it could go. Another way is they're going to, and this is what I think they're going to do, they're going to do something drastic. They're going to move Devers to first after they told him he's a DH, which he does not want to do. They're going to move Christian Campbell like you want to first, or Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer. They're going to do something drastic. Those guys are going to be there. It's going to work. Devers is going to be able to hit at first. Campbell's going to be able to hit at first. Same thing with Meyer or Anthony. I don't know that any of them can play it defensively.
Right.
But once you do that, it's going to be tough to undo it.
Either.
No, he's
like,
not.
That's another thing there.
Fair point. Yeah. So you might be upgrading even if they're not good defensively at first. So because you're doing something so drastic, I do think that effectively ends his time in Boston. You can jump in on that at 617-779-7937. I'm not saying he'll never play another game for the Red Sox,
yeah.
But like meaningfully looked at as the first baseman,
yeah,
I think that's done. As for the Celtics and the Knicks, that rivalry, Jalen's talking about it. Porzingis was asked about it as well. The atmosphere at MSG, he's like, well, you know, you could ask that the other way too. They got to play at TD Garden, which is an electric
atmosphere. It's two really good basketball venues.
And that,
I'll give them that.
That's going to be, just starting with this, it's going to be nice to have a series with a little bit of juice and energy in the building because Orlando just doesn't have it. It doesn't. Boston, New York, MSG, and TD Garden.
Great.
That's going to be a lot different than a nothing organization with, you know, for the most part, nameless, faceless players in Orlando. There is going to be more juice to the series, which I think is good. It may not be a competitive series. Maybe Orlando played the Celtics tougher than New York, but going into it, there's more hype around this series, which I do think is refreshing.
I mean, the fact is the Knicks-Celtics rivalry is kind of non-existent, and it's because of the Knicks. The Knicks are really a trash franchise. If you look at the history of the Knicks, they've been in the league since Jump Street. Horrible. They've won two titles. They both were in the 70s.
I was going to say, they were in like a, were they in a 3-year span?
I think it was a 3 or 4 year span. They won two
Frazier
in the 70s.
And Earl Monroe.
Will Reed. They won two titles then. They, you know, were kind of a foil. I don't even know if you'd call them a foil, but like the Patrick Ewing teams, they had some good matchups where they would lose to the Bulls or they would play like the Pacers or they would play the Heat. And you're like, they played football, right? It was like Charles Oakley and these guys just like trying to rough you up. Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy. But they were they're not very good. And so all the years the Celtics were good, they didn't have to go through the Knicks or vice versa. So there haven't been a lot of really good games between the two. The rivalry is really more based on Boston-New York than it is Celtics-Knicks.
Yeah, and I misspoke. It was 2-4 for the Knicks back in the 70s, but that's it. We referenced the Terp stat earlier this week.
Terp stat.
The last time they played in the postseason was 2013. It basically ended the Big Three era. Carmelo and Amare, who else is out?
J.R. Smith.
They beat Pablo Prigioni. They beat the Celtics.
Ray Felton.
In that first round and advanced to round two where they got knocked out.
Right, but
that's the last time they played in the playoffs.
Even the Carmelo Knicks, terrible, never got anywhere. They haven't been out of the first round, I think, or out of the second round since 2000?
Yeah, when's the last time they had a conference final? Exactly. Like the Camby LJ teams when they lost to the Spurs in the NBA Finals. Oh, yeah, did they make another conference final after that? Sprewell, yes, yeah. Allen, Houston, those teams? Like,
they're a bad franchise.
It is. And the last time these two teams played each other beyond the first round was 1984. It was Bird and Bernard King. Is the last time they played beyond round
Ooh,
one.
I had that poster. It was a Converse poster, I think. It was like Bernard King said, no easy buckets. And he's like getting fouled by Bird.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said this earlier. It's not the Celtics' fault. I mean, the Celtics are constantly in conference finals. They're constantly in the NBA finals winning championships. I mean, that is really more about the Knicks. So
this is a lot of rivalry. Pretty bad. They always kick our ass.
So, yeah,
it is one of those rivalries. But everybody talks
one-sided.
About, well, it's the Mecca and like New York. Like, yeah, you have all these great players from New York, but they go play somewhere else.
Right, and a lot of guys want to show out at MSG, which I think is a real thing. And I do think if the Knicks were ever good,
yeah,
like championship caliber good, it would be huge for
but
the
like
city.
They always wanted LeBron, never got him. They always wanted Durant, never got him. A handful of those guys ended up going to play for Brooklyn. Now, it didn't work, right? But at first it was Pierce and Garnett, and then it was that their next wave of guys because like, oh, it's still New York. But the New York Knicks, in a large part probably because of their ownership, but hasn't worked. And Jalen Brunson's definitely one of the best players they've had in a long time. And then they make the trade because Julius Randle was pretty good for him. Julius Randle was making all NBA teams. Then they make that big trade. They bring in Towns. But you look at him, you're like, all right, well, what are they? Like, they're not better than the Celtics. I don't think they're better than the Cavs. They might not be better than the Pacers. You're like, they're like an automatic playoff team right now, but with no real NBA title expectancy.
If things broke right for them in the East, it's not this year because they get the Celtics in round two. But if things broke right for them, and like you said, they had Indy or maybe even Cleveland.
Yeah, they were better off being the 4 seed than the 3 seed.
Could I see them in an Eastern Conference final, like a one-off Eastern Conference final team? Maybe.
But oh, sure. Like the Hawks a few years ago or like the Magic a few years ago.
That's their ceiling. That's their ceiling right now, and there's no real way out of it, which just kind of always feels like where the Knicks are. Even when they're good, they're kind of locked in with like, round two, Eastern Conference final at best ceiling. They're never a true championship contender.
But it's amazing because like they are such a wannabe good franchise, right? Like they so desperately want to be on that level of the Celtics and the Lakers, but they're not even close. Like there are so many players, individual players who have more titles than the Knicks.
I mean, they're not even on the level of the Bulls,
Philly,
the Spurs, Philly. Yeah. Like they're not on the level of any of those in terms of championships won. They're not on the level of any of those organizations.
No, they look more like an expansion team, even though they are a team that's been in it since the league started.
It's true.
Yeah.
So look, that New York team, it does feel like a rivalry, and I'll stand by this. If the Knicks ever won, or were really in the championship mix, it would be huge for the city. Like they are a very wildly popular team in New York.
Yeah.
But they're never good. No. They're never contending for championships. And I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
They're the Clippers without having a Lakers in town. Right?
Exactly.
Like they're just basically the Clippers. Yeah, it's a weird setup that they have. But it's you know, we'll see what happens. I think it's the worst of all of the Boston-New York potential rivalries.
Yeah, worse than Bruins-Rangers.
Yeah.
Worse than...
Obviously, Sox-Yankees would be the top.
Pats-Jets.
Pats-Jets-Pats-Giants are more intense rivalries. Even though Pat's Jets is pretty one-sided, it's still a better rivalry than this one.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. One more text. This is a good one. We haven't mentioned this yet when talking about potential options at first base for the Red Sox. Text line says, revisit Nolan Arenado and have him play first. That's a player they were linked to in the offseason. The Cardinals have been bad, right? I'm just looking that up. Cardinals are 16-19.
Yeah.
So not that much worse than the Red Sox.
Say, similar.
But that's a player they were looking at moving in the offseason. Is there a name like that where they've already been linked to him? Although I thought part of the logic at the time was Cassis would be one of the guys moving, right? Or no, it was Yoshida.
Yeah, that was
I'm sorry, it was Yoshida. Yeah. So maybe there's a way to get that done. Chaim Bloom likes Yoshida, signed Yoshida. Maybe there's a way to get that done.
Yeah.
And you could play him at first. That's an interesting name to mix in, replacing Tristan Cassis. With all your thoughts here on Jones and Keith, 617-779-7937. Let's get to a Thunderbolts review from Keith. He saw it over the weekend.
Yes.
Is this spoiler-free? Is it accurate to say it's spoiler-free?
Yeah, spoiler-free.
Okay, so maybe you're on the fence. You're thinking about seeing Thunderbolts this week. Rich Keefe has a spoiler-free review of Thunderbolts coming your way at 11:45. We'll also take a spin around the NBA playoffs. Some people are worried about the Cavs. They're already down 1-0 to the Pacers. I think there were some bad developments out west for the Celtics. Jokic advances. Steph Curry advances. So we have thoughts on all that. The toughest remaining teams left for the Celtics right after Trending with Billy Lane.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tell you what, fun little sports day last night, Keith.
Sure was.
Pretty good sports weekend.
Yeah.
Despite the Celtics.
Took a bath on the ponies, though.
Not in action, yeah.
Took an absolute bath.
Luxor Cafe, I never really quite saw in the screen, I feel like.
No.
Down the stretch.
Maybe still running.
Yeah, I never quite saw the seven. I was looking for it. Never saw the seven horse. Who were you going with?
I went Sandman, but my wife went with Burnham Square. It's more like a longer shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they actually had
that one properly pegged.
I think it did all right. No, yeah. I think I did all right. I think Sandman is just like brutal.
Yeah, so that
tough go
didn't go great. And, you know, there were no Celtics or Bruins this weekend. You had some Red Sox losses mixed in.
What happened to the Bruins?
But some entertaining, I thought, football and hockey. I didn't watch a ton of Dallas on Saturday night. I watched a lot of Winnipeg last night.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Because I wanted to see Monty choke, which happened. That was great.
Yeah.
2 minutes left. They give up two goals in regulation. They lose in double overtime.
They had 2 seconds at the end.
Well, that's true. So that was tremendous to watch him gag all over himself. On the heels of Allmark doing the same. That was enjoyable.
Sure.
So I watched that. I watched, Cavs and Pacers game one. I watched Warriors and Rockets game seven. Since we played the Warriors clip there, you might look up and see the final margin in that game and think it was not a competitive game. That was a tight game down the stretch before Golden State kicked it into high gear. The final margin was 14. It was up to 20 at one point. But that was a well-played, tight game where Golden State pulled away. The remaining field now out west, Keith, is, if the Celtics get to the finals, you're facing one of these. You're getting Curry and Butler and the Warriors.
Right.
You're getting OKC with SGA, who they've been waiting, it feels like, for like 2 weeks, waiting for their next round matchup. You get Jokic or you get Anthony Edwards. Like, that's who you're getting in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, you're not getting Luka Doncic and Kyrie.
Nope.
You're not getting a rematch with any of those guys. You're also not getting LeBron and Doncic.
Nope.
You're not getting that.
You're not getting choking James Harden, who I stupidly bet on Saturday.
No, I mean, it's pretty amazing because you have the two of the up-and-coming stars in the league, if they're not already there, in SGA and Edwards. Two guys that haven't won yet but are already getting, like, propped up like they have in a way. And then two other guys that have won. And in the case of Curry, a guy who's won a bunch, or a guy in Jokic that couldn't defend the title a year ago, but is still the best player in the world. And that would probably be maybe the biggest surprise to come out of the West, but whatever. They're in the second round, and they got a guy like Jokic, so I think they always have a chance. But yeah, no matter who you get, it's going to be a hell of a series.
So to me, and trust me, if it's not the Thunder, I think the Celtics beat all those teams. I think the Celtics beat Minnesota. I think they beat Denver.
So I even the Warriors, yes. I know you've been high on them, or like the fact, if it's them, that means they also beat the Timberwolves and they beat the Thunder.
I would pick the Celtics head-to-head with the Warriors, but I think after OKC, that's the team I would want to face the least.
I think the Celtics would beat them. Against the Warriors would be off the charts. Just to see Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry.
Are you shifting on that a little bit?
I'm not shifting on it, but I don't like how close they're getting.
Yeah, you don't like that.
I don't like that they're even there.
Because you said before you weren't worried about them, but you're like, it's round one. They still have so far to go.
The Rockets were going to beat them.
They could have lost in game 7.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, fair point.
I just think it's those two
guys. You're eyeballing them. Okay.
I'm taking a look at it.
Okay, good. You're starting to pay attention over there.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'm taking a look.
Look, I just think the West illustrates what I've been saying all year. You're never going to get as easy of a road as you had, ever again, as you had last year. And already, the teams lined up in the finals, as you just said, they're all better than Luka and Kyrie and the crap-ass 5-seed Mavs from a year ago. Already, all those teams are better than that. And my guess is you're on a collision course with OKC, who won 68, 69 games, whatever it was.
Nice.
One nicer than the other.
Nice.
And had, like, you know, borderline historic scoring margin advantages that align with the Celtics from a year ago.
Yeah, they're great.
That's a real opponent. The Warriors are a real opponent. Denver's won it before. You know, Minnesota, what were they? Minnesota was the 6th seed, so that's a lower
seed.
They're
6th seed, but they looked really impressive against LeBron.
And they were in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. Yep. Like, to me, I guess that'd be the closest team to Dallas, if you're asking me.
Yeah, right.
But you're going to have a harder path. Now, saying that, the Pacers might do you a favor and knock out Cleveland.
They might, although you want the Pacers?
I'd rather have the Pacers than Cleveland.
So would I. I mean, I think Cleveland's really good. I think they're still going to win the series. This is just a little bit of a game one setback for them. But the Pacers are tough, and we even said that last year. I mean, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, even though it was sort of a down year.
Well, yeah.
Like, they were there. They emerged.
They were there, and they would have been a lot tougher if their best player played the whole series.
Correct.
Which is what we saw with all these teams a year ago. But, no, I think the Cavs could push the Celtics 6 or 7 games. They've matched up well with the Celtics. They split with them this year. Mitchell's a killer at the end of these games, so I think the Cavs would be a more difficult matchup. I don't mean to dismiss Indy. Early in the year, I know Terp was a big fan of Indy. We could ask him about it when he's in for Pure Hoops, High Noon on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he cooled on Indy a little bit, but you know, that's a balanced team. If Halliburton's locked in, and he was last night, big three, big defensive play, where he got a run out going the other way to kind of seal things last night. I mean, if Halliburton's going to be locked in without his dad running up to people on the floor.
So, you know what I was wondering? Is he allowed at Cleveland games? He's not allowed at Indiana,
but could he
go to all the road games?
I think he's going to sit the rest
of
the
low.
But good point. Is he technically allowed
to go
to
all the
road
games?
Just buys his way in?
Yeah.
Buys a ticket?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, if he does that, he's probably allowed in there. Yeah, it's just the Indiana games that he was asked
he's
to stay away
from. He's
not
allowed to be at the old field house there.
But no, I think Indy would be doing the Celtics a favor, although
yes,
for everybody who says, you know, the Celtics were better off for being tested in round one against Orlando, and I think they were. I think it would be it'd be an easier series for the Celtics, but it would be a disservice from a championship standpoint to get Indy in an Eastern Conference final than it would be to get a real test with Cleveland in an Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, I mean, if this year they
I want them pushed.
If they end up going New York, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, it'd be the opposite. It'd be like, that's the toughest road.
Yeah.
I know they match up well with the Knicks, but the Knicks still with the star players over there. It's the 3 seed, and they're healthy. There's no injuries. Cleveland potentially could be the same thing. Then it'd be the reverse. It'd be like, wow, that was the toughest matchups all the way, and assuming health, the best players all the way. But, you know, I think the Pacers are tough, which means, like, it'll be a longer series than expected with Cleveland. But I still think Cleveland's going to end up moving on. That's the series we'll get.
Yeah, I will say, and you're the Garland guy between the two of us.
Garland's a good player.
They didn't have Darius Garland last night. They lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe he's a more important player, at least in that matchup, than I give him credit for. I think Cleveland should beat Indy with or without Darius Garland.
Yeah, I agree.
But one game in, I guess I'm proven wrong on that. So you can jump in. The Celtics and their path, who's the toughest remaining team? Whether it's Cleveland in the Eastern Conference, already down 0-1, or one of those teams out west, 617-779-7937.
Oh, I'm surprised by this. Terp just put up on, you can see it on Twitch or YouTube, the series odds. The Timberwolves are minus 175 to win the series over the Warriors. I'm a little surprised by that.
I mean, Golden State was plus money against Houston.
Yeah, but then they beat them. And no, they weren't.
Oh, no, you're right.
Houston Golden State was favored.
I had that back. Yeah, so you're right. That is weird.
So I'm a little surprised by that just because you're like, it's Curry in the playoffs, you know? Like,
yeah, why is that? Is that a rest thing? Minnesota's just fresher? Why is that?
I don't know.
That is surprising.
Buying opportunity or sucker's bet?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Houston ended up being a sucker's bet.
Yeah, Houston was. Although I'm surprised. So I picked Houston at the start of the series, and then after the first few games, you're like, yeah, Golden State's going to win. But credit to Houston for four and seven games.
No, they made that a series for
Udoka
sure.
Udoka's the best coach in the league.
He is, I would go Spoelstra, but he's up there. Yeah.
How does Spoelstra's team do?
Well, who does Spoelstra have?
Who does Udoka have?
Udoka's got more players than Spoelstra.
Spoelstra's got an Olympian. What are you talking about?
Van Vliet's an NBA champion.
Bam Adebayo's an NBA champion. Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's an NBA finalist.
Yeah,
he's been in the finals.
I'd rather have a champion.
Yeah. You don't want Tyler Hero?
No, not really. Perks would make it his case all day long that Durant should go to the Rockets. That would be an interesting big picture proposition.
Yeah, they could use somebody.
I'm mostly out on Durant. That's actually a pretty good fit. You just wonder if they're on to a good thing and they don't need to bring in a player with baggage like that.
Yeah, true.
But separate story for a separate day.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Jason Tatum and this series, Keith, is this a series where he keeps it rolling from Orlando? People say, hey, the Magic made Tatum angry. You don't want angry Tatum. You got angry Tatum, and this is what you get. Does he keep that rolling out of the Orlando series? Do we see someone else emerge? I feel like this has the potential to be a massive Porzingis series.
I think it could be a big Porzingis series. I agree. He played in two of the four games against the Knicks during the regular season, and he put up great numbers. He was like 25 points a game, give or take. Tatum dominated the Knicks this year, and I think that he will. And he really, after the wrist injury, he came out and had these monster scoring games. Four games against the Knicks during the regular season, 33.5 points, 7 boards, 7 assists. Shot the ball really well. He was 48% from three. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a big Tatum series. I could see Porzingis loving it, going up against his former team, one of his former teams, the team that drafted him and then traded him away. I could see him loving the back and forth between, like, being the villain on the road, then going crazy at home for the fans. Like, I think a lot it lines up well for a lot of the top guys in the Celtics.
I think it's a good series to get Porzingis going. He doesn't have to be the best player on the floor. But this is a good series to get Porzingis going. And he's always a risk to get hurt and have a setback and not make it through the series. But he was so up and down, mostly down, against Orlando that this feels like a good matchup to get him going. He should have open looks.
Yeah.
He has extra motivation going against New York, wants to show out if he has any animosity against that organization for moving on from him.
What
so,
the f*** did they do? Who the f*** is this? Who the f*** is Tingus Pingus?
It's important to get
big
him going
Tingus Pingus series.
In this series, because if they can't get him going here, I'm going to start to wonder if they can get him going. And you mentioned Holiday earlier. I'm surprised Holiday went from not doing anything to now fully cleared
full
and ready
go.
To go. Like, I'm surprised by that. Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
I know.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I thought he might be, like, questionable leading up to it or whatever, but just removed altogether from the injury report. So whether they're playing games with it or like, before, or they're being fully truthful, I don't know what's going on.
And
but.
I don't think they would rush him back if he wasn't ready. Like, I don't think they look at it and go, we need this guy on the floor for New York. In fact, quite the opposite.
No, you don't.
So my guess is, if anything, they were holding him back a little bit more than they needed to at the end of the Orlando series.
So that makes me feel a little bit better.
And now they get him full go, because that was one I was concerned about. Like, if he's not out there, can you repeat? And if he's not 100%, can you repeat? And if he's in and out of the lineup and dealing with a nagging thing, a hamstring injury, which is nothing to sneeze at.
I mean, you could make the case between this series and the next one, he's as high as your third most important player, right? I mean, he was awesome last year in the conference finals specifically, but he was great the whole time and was one of the main reasons why they were different last year than they were the year before. This year, it does feel like it's going to be a little bit of a tougher road. And if you're talking about Jalen Brunson this round, Donovan Mitchell the next round, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the round after that, like, you need Jrue Holiday.
And it's another body to mix in.
Yeah.
Because Jalen's going to get a lot of those guys defensively, but it's another body to mix in to, you know, throw people at guys like Jalen Brunson or Donovan Mitchell in the next round, as you highlighted. 617-779-7937. All your Celtics and Knicks predictions. Series gets underway tonight, game one at TD Garden. We're talking about it all day long here on WEEI. And on the way next, Rich Keyes saw Thunderbolts over the weekend. We have a spoiler-free review of Thunderbolts coming your way next.
You drafted this kid, you stupid mother!
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's just a little bit of the sound of Thunderbolts, Jones, the latest MCU movie, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the 36th MCU movie to date. 36 and counting.
There's 37 Patriots Hall of Famers. There's 36 of these.
That's right. One for each one, just about.
Wow.
All lined up. Thunderbolts came out this past weekend. This will be a spoiler-free review if you haven't gotten a chance to go to the theater just yet. It is a 2-hour and 6-minute film that on Roddy Tees right now, 88% by the critics, 94% by the audience.
Wow.
And I'd have to agree with them. Jones, this was fantastic. People are saying Marvel is back. I don't know if it ever left. No, it actually did dip for a bit. There was a time. So
yeah, what's been their cold streak lately?
So Endgame was the 22nd MCU movie. So Infinity War, and then you had Endgame, and it was sort of like the culmination of like this long story. But they make so much money, they're like, we got to keep making these things. And since then, it's been hit or miss. I've liked some. Like, I think Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was really good. I thought Spider-Man No Way Home was pretty good. Deadpool and Wolverine is sort of like breaking the rules a little bit because it is in the MCU, but it was taking these characters from outside. But anyway, I thought that was really good. There's been some stinkers, though, along the way. They used to be pretty much like a B-plus type of movie or A, like for a bunch in a row. That has gone away. And I don't know if this guarantees that things really turn around, but this one was very enjoyable. It was a lot of kind of classic Marvel stuff. There is a mid and an end credit scene that you're going to want to stick around for if you didn't.
Oh, so go nowhere at the end.
Sit down.
Okay.
Take your phone out.
You kind of have to sit through credits now.
You kind of do. Movie. Even Sinners. Sinners had mid and post credits.
Really?
Yeah, a little tip of the cap.
The most important scene, I would say, in Sinners is after the credits.
So once everybody's done clapping.
Yes.
Then you still sit around a little bit and you wait for any.
You wait. Oh, speaking of.
Any hints? You clapped?
I did
you
not.
You clapped at the end of it?
There were claps.
Of course there were.
We were talking about on Friday what's worse, clapping when your plan lands or at the end of the movie. And I went and saw Thunderbolts Friday night. And lo and behold, full theater, by the way.
Yeah.
Packed house. Nice. People very excited to see Thunderbolts. And a smattering of applause at the very end. Which is a good sign. I think there's enough people that weren't psychos that were like, that's a good movie. I don't need to clap.
Yeah.
But the fact that you got a
few
people
clapping.
See, I'm
surprised with such good Roddy T's reviews. I thought maybe they'd be going
people,
a little more ham. Yeah.
Standing ovation. They're like, bring them out. Bring them out. Like, there's nobody there. I do think Florence Pugh.
Pew, pew.
Pew. Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, stole the show.
I've seen her on the red carpet. Good stuff there.
She's, well, yeah.
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 Pretty risque. But so she's played this character before. She was in the movie Black Widow, which is another one of these post-Endgame movies that I thought was pretty good. And she was in that. She also appeared in the Hawkeye television show. But this is like her movie. So she's Black Widow's sister, basically plays like another Black Widow. But she has like the Russian accent. She has a great line in there that we just played from the trailer where she's like, can anybody fly? Like, no, we're just like a bunch of punch and shoot guys. Like, we're just kind of like these. It's a ragtag crew. It's a story you've heard a million times. It's basically Marvel's Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And so, but they do a good job with it. So it's characters we've seen that had lesser roles in other movies and kind of slammed together. One of those characters, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, she's in the film.
Elaine, yes.
Wow.
She plays Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Not Elaine Bennis.
Doesn't play Elaine Bennis. Although she is more similar to her character from Veep.
Okay.
But like eviler. So take Veep. Did you watch Veep?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I've heard it's great.
I feel like that'd be in your wheelhouse.
I feel like it would be in my wheelhouse. It's been recommended many times. Never watched it.
It's very funny. It's very funny. It's very fast. A lot of jokes. And she's the vice president and she becomes the president. Spoiler. And it's good. It's a good show.
Yeah, this is spoiler-free Thunderbolts. Not Veep.
Oh, I'm going to spoil Veep left and right.
Spoiling a 10-year-old show. What's the matter
with
you?
That's right. No, but so she's in this. And again, they've sort of teased her before. She's had like small little roles before. So she's in this quite a bit. David Harbour from Stranger Things plays Red Guardian. He brings that character back. He's a lot of the comic relief. Wouldn't say everything he says is funny. His batting average isn't 1,000, but he's good.
But the high batting average.
It's still strong. It's still strong.
Is Judgy in?
Yeah.
430
something? He's hitting like about 420, 430,
yeah, okay, nice.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Sebastian Stan is back as the Winter Soldier. He's very good, but... No, I thought it was very enjoyable. You don't feel the 2 hours at all. You're in and out and looking forward to the next thing. So definitely stick around for the end credits. I think that kind of boosts the movie a little bit.
Okay.
Would you give the end credits to the movie? Like for whatever your score would be for a movie, hypothetically, do you end it when the credits start or you're like, hey, that little piece at the end,
that
I'm
little piece
count.
Counts. That okay. Absolutely counts.
Then this goes up a little bit.
I mean,
more.
If nothing else, it can be a sweetener at the end.
It could be a little bit of a sweetener.
Well, cherry on top.
So throughout my dealings on the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Well, this is what I was going to ask. Yeah. So I know you typically grade these things on the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Correct.
And that will be spoiler packed, correct?
We do a little spoiler free for the people, yep. And then we go full.
And then spoiler.
Full.
Yeah, spoiler everywhere. Yeah. Okay, so
you spoil the whole thing.
If you want to save your official grade for that.
No, I can do it now.
People can check it out.
I can do it now. I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. A rock hard 5 out of 6.
Yeah, because we only do half stones. So it goes to 6. So we can do a 5.5. You can do a 4.5.
Full 5.
But sometimes you can do sort of like a weak 5. Or it's like a strong 5.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've also been keeping track of this. out of the 36 MCU movies, I have this ranked 14th.
Okay.
So pretty great.
Just outside the top 10.
Pretty great. But
knocking on the door.
Yeah, knocking on the door. But okay. There's been a lot. That's good company that this thing is in. So maybe one day I'll have to tier the Marvel movies. That could be a tier Tuesday.
Now
also,
we're talking.
Now we do that.
Now we're talking.
How many of these have you seen?
Me?
Would you guess?
Three. Give me some of the early ones. What are the early ones?
Iron Man.
Saw
Iron
it.
Man 1.
Saw it.
The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton.
Didn't see it.
Iron Man 2.
Think I saw Iron Man 2. I definitely saw the first one.
Iron Man 3.
Didn't make it to 3. There's no chance I made it to 3.
Captain America 1.
Nope.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Nope.
Thor.
No.
Thor 2.
Maybe I'm lower than 3.
Thor 3.
No.
Thor 4.
No.
Ant-Man.
Nope.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No.
Ant-Man 3.
No.
Black Panther? You guys see Black Panther?
I didn't see Black Panther.
What are you, one?
You've only seen one?
I'm absolutely at one, maybe two. I might have seen Iron Man 2.
Zero. Shang-Chi?
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
I didn't watch Iron Man on my own. I watched it like out of my own.
Because I don't like comic book movies? I'm an old man?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
No, just want to confirm.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Put it in my
resume. You got your answer?
Yeah, I would say so.
Wait, keep going.
How many half comedy?
How many have I seen?
I'm pretty sure now some of these are like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm pretty sure now I am at one.
Guardians of the Galaxy might be one of the better comedies of the last 15 years. Now, that speaks to the state of comedies.
Yeah, it really makes Billy's point.
Did you guys both see Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings?
I missed that one. Billy, you didn't?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that one.
What about Doctor Strange?
Nope.
No?
All right. Were there really four Thors?
Four Thors, yeah. Four Thor and 70
one
years ago.
Well, actually, would you say two of them were good?
I would say one of them was great.
Ragnarok was great. Thor 1 was fine.
Thor Love and Thunder was okay.
Kat Dennings in all of them?
I think so.
How long?
So Billy's back
maybe.
In.
Maybe.
What's a reasonable amount of time I'd have to commit to watch all of these? Not that I'm going to do it, but like, what would it take?
Yeah.
Right. I would love to know what the added up running time of all these movies is.
Hundreds of hours.
And you have to throw in the shows.
So well, my
no,
buddy,
no, I don't.
Well, I have to throw in
if
shows.
If you want to go 100% completionist, you got to throw in the shows.
Which I am. Everybody knows I'm a completionist.
Ask my ex-wife. I try to be. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in here. There's a lot to like.
That's more than I expected. Okay.
Maybe we'll just give you like an essentials list because my buddy right now, he's having his kids start to watch them all.
Now we're talking.
Some of the early ones aren't great. And they're like, Dad, we got to watch 30 more of these. And he's like, all right, we'll skip this one.
Is Thunderbolts on the essentials list?
I think it is now.
Okay. So I have at least 14 I got to watch. You have it 14th out of the 36?
Yep.
So I at least got to watch 14? Anything else?
Probably. Well, maybe you're going to need a few more than that, I think, to pick up some of the pieces.
Okay. At that point, I might as well just watch all of them.
Watch them all. They're all available, I think, on Disney Plus.
So that was
rip through them.
That was it. Yeah, no, it sounds like we'll rip right through all 36.
But so we'll have a lot more on that on the Dork Podcast tonight. Thunderbolts review, definitely a must watch.
Okay, if you want spoilers, catch that. Always check out the
talking about them like their episodes of I Think You Should Leave. You can rip through three seasons.
Oh yeah, he's rip right through them. Yeah. 8 minutes. No. So check out the Dork Podcast for all your spoilers there tonight. Mm-hmm. Keith gives Thunderbolts a rock hard 5 out of 6.
That's right.
In our spoiler-free preview here. 617-779-7937. Keith will also preview the Celtics and the Knicks with Game 1 tonight at TD Garden. Oh, you hear that?
Oh, no.
Not only is it a preview, we got keys to the Celtics and Knicks at 1 o'clock. We'll also get back to the Red Sox and Tristan Cassis. How do they replace him with him done for at least the rest of the year and certainly longer than that? We'll do that next.